like seemingly obvious character issues, and then the Eagles pounce.
So I had my opinions pretty fleshed out for last year's draft. If you're telling, if just in a vacuum, or just I'm telling you they have to stay and pick somebody at 20. Can't trade up, can't trade down. They have to pick someone at 20. It's obvious who you've loved Mims for months. I'm not as convinced because I struggle with the Steelers' ability to develop offensive tackles and do the coaching part of it. And there's not a prospect who I'm convinced is going to be there who I love.
So
I'm having a tough time with this year. Like,
so you would trade down then?
Well,
by the way, Mims' ankle injury was left ankle, and just because we're familiar with this, he had the Pickett tightrope surgery on it.
Okay.
So it's here's one thing randomly about him I like, and I'll let you get back to your point. The Brugler guide on him says he's not one of those guys who's, like, huge but awkwardly shaped, basically. Like, he doesn't carry the weight well. It's like, basically, the guy looks every bit like he carries the weight.
Yep.
Body fat when he got to Georgia, 25%. Body fat now, 17%. That dude didn't do a Waken 180 that I know of, but he just got his ass into shape, basically. Turned himself into a monster physically.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that if you draft him, he's one of the great picks in the draft because the lack of playing time at Georgia, if he had more tape out there, people would have seen him.
He might be a top
10. Yeah, well, top five even,
go back to what Baldy said to us yesterday about how big he is and how long the wingspan is, right? It's just tough to get around a guy like that. What did he say? DeJuan Jones, he cited.
I just have such a lack of faith. And where did DeJuan Jones get picked? Fourth round?
I know he was a fourth round. Oh, yeah, but didn't we have people telling us quietly off the record that, like, some people didn't even think he was, like, on the Steelers' board?
Donnie said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That he had a mole. On good authority that he was just such a slob and was so... Seriously.
No, I know that they
thought
he wasn't an NFL player.
That's wrong there.
No, that they thought he was not an NFL player, and he turned out that he was.
What's that tell you about their offensive line evaluation was pretty good with Broderick Jones.
My point is, I mean, Mims, the reason I bring up how big he is that Baldy made it seem like even if you're a little bit raw at the start of your career, being that gigantic just makes you a decent pass blocker specifically because it's hard. It takes time to run around you. You sound like a guy right now, though, to go back to your original kind of thesis here, you sound and have the tenor of a guy who is just itching for a trade down in this draft. That's what I sense with you. That you would be, as a process and analytically oriented person, you'd say, I don't love enough like players in this draft that I think will be there at 20.
I might as well take more swings.
Take more swings where the depth is still solid.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
That feels like such a cop-out answer. Like,
is it, though? I mean, good teams do smart stuff like that all the time.
When was the last time the Steelers did it?
They haven't done
it in a while.
Casey
Hampton?
Yeah, they haven't done it in a while. Here's another name to consider. Byron Murphy. Lance Zierlein said if he gets to – he was talking, I think, to Matt Williamson on Twitter, and they were talking about him, and Zierlein said if he gets to the Steelers at 20 and they pass on him, I will weep for the city of Pittsburgh.
And I think they will pass on him if he's there at 20.
Depends on who – like, it depends – I think the only way they wouldn't pass on him and they'd take him is if there was, you know, there was the run in Jonathan Jones of cornerbacks 1, 2, 3 in a row. If there was a crazy run on tackles, I think they would consider it. Even if the centers were all there, I think they'd at least consider it. I think tackle positionally, they would say, is much more valuable than center. And so if a lot of those guys were gone, they might take the defensive lineman.
Nothing about the way they've gone about their pre-draft prep, though, makes me think that they're really looking at taking a defensive lineman with their first pick.
I mean,
it seems to be more of a day two or day three need on their list of priorities and ranking
aware.
Of players and positional need.
No, I believe me, I think that that's accurate. It would be a surprise to me if they did that. But I guess when a guy like Zierlein, who does write up these for the official league arm, you know, he's doing this at NFL.com, when he says something like that, it sort of opens the eyes. I would cry or weep for the city. That it would be such a bad move by them to pass on
the guy? I don't think Murphy would get – he'd play because it's a rotational position defensive line. But who does he play over? He should play over Ogunjobi.
Right.
But they gave Ogunjobi a big contract and didn't do anything to either minimize the cap number or ask him to take a pay cut. None of that went on.
You think they're
same thing with Hayward. Coming off his injury season, they're paying him over $20 million a year, and they love Benton.
Do you think do you think their internal DNA as a franchise, where for so many years we heard them say we don't like to have to count on our, like, even our first round pick to be a big contributor, still exists somewhere? Or do you think that that died with Colbert leaving the franchise?
No, I think you can, I think you can draft that way when you don't really have any obvious holes, but this team needs to find starters in this draft.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Probably with their first. Would you say it's fair to assess them and say they need to find starters for sure at 20 and 51 right now as their pick set stands, and probably a guy who's a significant contributor at 84? I do. If 20 and 51 are like a tackle and a center in some combination, and 84 is a wide receiver, the first two have to start, and the third one has to be a significant player.
They only have two starting corners. They only have one starting wide receiver. They don't have a starting center, and they do have a starting left tackle, but he's terrible.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
Go back to Bob McGinn here and this write-up that gets...
What was the Barton thing
about
him?
The Barton thing is the scout he talked to said that, I don't know why you'd want to put a guy that's 6'5 at center.
Too tall.
The guy's 6'5, I don't think he'd have a chance. Too big.
He can't play with leverage and get low, basically.
Not only that, how do quarterbacks see over him?
Well, Wilson's only 5'11".
Right.
Fields is tall. He's 6'3", but yeah.
What's not Big Ben back there.
What would you say is the ideal center height then, 6'2", 6'3"? A mauler in there? Basically just build Doug Legursky.
Donnie, how tall is Jason Kelce? Look that up for
6'3",
us.
6'3", I can already
I'm
tell
I'm pretty
you.
Sure he's 6'4", or 6'5".
Really? I thought they listed Jason Kelce. Travis is 6'5". I thought they listed Jason Kelce at 6'3", 295.
Travis is 6'5".
Thank you.
Yeah, when I saw both of those guys at the Super Bowl, Travis is a big guy. Jason Kelce doesn't.
I'm a little bit skeptical, Malzi, of The Rock's height, because they took a picture together after WrestleMania, and Kelce looks taller than The Rock.
So if Jason Kelce's taller than The Rock, that means The Rock is like 6'2.5", which we've already shrunk Hulk Hogan down to like maybe like shorter than Pony here.
Donnie, you played center in college. What do you think of the scouts' question or concern that he's too tall to play the position?
I don't really see that would be like a first that I've ever heard a guy being too tall to play on the offensive line. I mean, yeah, the center is normally like the guys in the middle, just naturally the shorter guys. But we also have never really seen, like, a 6'8 center or anything like that. Like, sometimes we see absolute monstrous humans that are out on the outside of the offensive line. You never really see that in the middle. Like, all of those guys just end up being basically between 6'2 and 6'5.
I mean, I'm also
Who are the 6'5 centers in the league? Are there any?
Pouncey was tall at 6'4.
I don't have anybody pulled up, but, yeah, like, I know Pouncey was on the taller end.
Ramon was a monstrous human being playing left guard. He was sick, every bit of 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
And Ramon's not he's not a cheap 6'7", where it's
That's why this scout is saying he should play guard. Barton should be a guard, which is a position he's never played before.
I was just going to say, you're drafting a guy, and you want to talk about like coaching worries, Pony. Can they coach up Mims with minimal snaps? They'd be coaching a guy with functionally zero.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. We love that we get a chance to talk to him just about once a week, and it's always at this time, 4:15 on Thursdays. Steve, if I told you the Steelers could trade the 20th pick in the draft for Brandon Ayuk, but then they had to turn around and give him the same contract that the Eagles just gave Devontae Smith, would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would do that. I'm a big fan of those moves. I know you got to pay the money, but I really think there's only – I don't know, 10 wide receiver difference makers, maybe a few more in the NFL. And I think Ayuk has put himself in that conversation. I mean, when I came out 2 years ago when the Eagles made that move for A.J. Brown, and I think A.J. Brown's a better player than Ayuk, but when they made that move, I thought that was the best selection in the first round that any team could have made, which was the Eagles taking whatever pick, 18, trading that for A.J. Brown, paying him the money, and it immediately transformed their offense and transformed Jalen Hurts. So I don't think Ayuk is as good as A.J. Brown, but I'm a big fan of those kinds of moves because you're also paying for some certainty, which is, you know, we're getting this elite caliber receiver.
Steve, how do you separate Ayuk's individual, like, abilities and what he could do for an offense like the Steelers versus the fact that he's in that San Francisco offense where, well, there's a lot of weapons and it's really well designed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Ayuk's more the route runner of that bunch. You know, not taking anything away from George Kittle or Christian McCaffrey, but those guys are schemed open a little bit. I think they benefit from the space more than anyone. I think with Ayuk, you can see when he's one-on-one, he is a slick route runner at every level, good ball skills. So I think they're all aided by the scheme, the surrounding, you know, the supporting cast and everything. But I think Ayuk is a fantastic route runner who can really attack the intermediate level of the field, down the field as well. And I think he could do that in any system.
Steve, how about a similar move, but instead of like getting the premium receiver like Ayuk, you go down a tier or two and you make a trade like that where you give up a lower pick and you pay him a little bit less money and you do it with Cortland Sutton instead of Ayuk?
Yeah, I think I'm less likely to want to do that, but I don't hate it, especially in this draft. I'll tell you, I think most drafts, I usually look at the depth and I say, it's tough looking at, say, players 30 through 60. Or 30 through 70. And, you know, back when I was doing PFF draft boards, I struggled, you know, sorting some of those guys out, thinking, hey, I kind of like player 60. Do I like them that much worse than player 30? Not really. I don't love this draft beyond the top 30, 35 players, whatever you want to call it, somewhere in that range. I think of all the years to maybe trade some draft picks for either future draft picks or for current NFL players, it feels like this one is the one to do it. Maybe not in the first round. I do love that top 20, 25, 30 players. But I think rounds, you know, especially when you get into the middle of round two and beyond, I would do more trade for established NFL player plus the contract type of moves, just the way the depth of the draft is, in my opinion.
Steve, we were reviewing some anonymous scout takes on two guys the Steelers have been connected to.
Oh, you know about that Bob McGinn article that makes
you know.
The rounds every year, Steve.
It's hilarious every time. It's amazing, yeah.
So which one of these do you think is more valid? On Amarius Mims, an anonymous scout says he might end up being the biggest bust in the draft, mainly owing to just the lack of experience. Or on Graham Barton, why put a 6'5 guy at center? He wouldn't have a chance. What do you think is a more legitimate anonymous scout critique there?
I mean, Creed Humphrey's 6'5 and one of the best centers in the league, so that's immediately invalid. Amarius, and, you know, the league seems to want these big, you know, brute force type of centers. Not that that's what Barton is. So Amarius Mims, I saw the other quote on Mims that was comparing him to Isaiah Wilson of Georgia, who played three snaps and they were all kneels. That's way more invalid. But I guess, I mean, I get the Mims question marks just because there haven't been too many tackles with that little experience over the last few years. And I think the risk with Mims isn't so much bust. It's just that I think linemen take time to develop. And so is he going to take more time? Is it going to take him to year two or three, whereas someone else it might be a little bit sooner? I think that's the question, but Mims is a good-looking player, so that 6'5 center thing I think is kind of ridiculous.
Steve Palazzolo, PFF, our guest. Steve, so one of the things that we've seen today is that Brian Thomas, the LSU wide receiver, some discussion about him being the Steelers' pick at 20. Do you think that that's a better move than taking Mims or taking Barton? And instead of taking the best center available or the second best right tackle, you take a freakishly athletic wide receiver who scored a ton of touchdowns in college?
Yeah, so the Steelers will probably make that move because I'm lower on Brian Thomas Jr. maybe than the consensus. So that just to keep our conversations fresh, you know, so I can question their moves. But I think the Steelers might look at this and say, look, what's our strength? We have a history of hitting on second and third round wide receivers. And the draft, the strength of the draft is this receiver class, right? There's probably 15 guys that could go in the top 80, 90, 100 picks. So I think there's that scarcity issue. It's harder to find tackles later in the draft that are good and that are starters. So I think you lean in to get the starting offensive lineman, come back with the receiver later. I get Brian Thomas Jr. I get the love for him. I don't think he's not as polished of an all-around receiver, in my opinion. I know some people absolutely love him, and I think he's a legitimate deep threat. I just saw a lot of inconsistency and body catching, and I love the downfield upside that Brian Thomas Jr. has. I just like him as a complementary piece more than you know, alpha number one wide receiver. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons I'd be a little bit lower on Brian Thomas and would rather him in the, you know, closer to the second round.
Steve, I like asking you questions about, like, totally off the board things that I haven't even brought up to Pony. So here's one.
Like his take on the NWO's Wolfpack?
No, actually. I wasn't going to do a Wolfpack take here. I was using my trusty PFF mock draft simulator. I had all the sliders set around neutral, so I was trying to just keep it a nice controlled draft. And I opted not to take the following player who was available to me at pick 20 because he did not fit a glaring positional need. But Brock Bowers was there at 20. If that actually happened to the Steelers in this draft, and Brock Bowers was sitting available at 20, would you advise that they take him over any other position that they would have more needs at, or no?
I would. I am a big believer, and I don't think any team actually does this. I am a big believer in literally taking the best players available and almost ignoring your current roster if you do it the right way and avoiding the bias. And you can make Brock Bowers work. I mean, he's immediately your slot receiver. He's immediately your number one slot. I think he's a top 10 player in this draft, and you do that. Absolutely. I think that would be a great move. I don't care that, you know, you make it work with Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. You just make it work. And I think that the tight end name and label for Brock Bowers, it's similar to what Buffalo did with Dalton Kincaid. They said, hey, he's our big slot. He's our receiver. They fed him the ball. Bowers is a better prospect than Kincaid, and he is an absolute weapon and playmaker. I would sprint to the podium to make that move anywhere, you know, 15 or later in this draft.
I'm just scarred by how unimpressive he looked in a t-shirt at the Super Bowl when he was around large people, especially like Gronk. Did you see him in person?
I mean, yeah, I was looking down on him. He looked small compared to me, obviously. But, yeah, I'm not going to lie, that got me a little bit as well. He looked tiny compared to Gronk. He looked tiny.
You've got a wide tight end. Salesman.
He did. Ugh. He did. But I just rewatched the tape again yesterday just to, like, freshen things up. He is so good, though. He's so good at football. So I try not to let the Super Bowl in-person experience, you know, really, like, sway my opinions there.
All right, so just to be clear to end this conversation, if Michael Penix Jr. was number 5 on the Chiefs board, you would say take him with the 32nd pick if you were their GM?
I always put QBs in a different bucket. That's a little different. I think QB is a little bit more need-based. I am a believer they'll keep taking him, though. But if you already have the guy, Mahomes, if you're like the 5 teams in the NFL that are really comfortable with their QBs, they need to load up on all non-QBs and just go
Steve,
from there.
Steve, then I'll ask you a serious question, because we had Aditi Kinkabwala on yesterday, and she said that her belief is the Steelers are not done at quarterback, and their scouts are still looking at, like, late day 2, early day 3 quarterbacks as potential picks. Who's a good quarterback in that range who you like?
Spencer Rattler's the name you're always going to hear. I don't know if he's a second or a third round pick. It, you know, it depends on how far Penix and Nix fall, I would say, if those guys end up in the second. Spencer Rattler's the name. I think everyone beyond that, Michael Pratt would be the other one that comes up from Tulane. I don't know if anyone beyond that is I don't know. I don't know if there's a next Brock Purdy, you know, very rare type of case there. But I think those are the guys I'd look at. Oh, I don't know. I don't have a good comp off the top of my head. I have a funny Michael Pratt story, if you have a second.
Please, of course.
When I watch film wherever I can, you know, and during Christmas time, I have an elf costume. My family was out of town, and I dressed up as elf to pick them up at the airport. And I was sitting at the airport dressed up as Elf watching Michael Pratt film, waiting for them to land before I, you know, greeted them at the gate. So that's what Michael Pratt reminds me of during this draft cycle. That's my comp.
Did you get any strange looks from people who are like, here's a man watching Tulane film dressed as an elf?
They didn't know I was watching film, but everybody was waving at me and yelling, hey, buddy! And yeah, I got a lot of cheers and everything. A lot of people liked it.
I'm not going to tell the story. Yeah, I'll tell the story on the air later.
I had to dress up as Santa Claus at like Alex's family gathering, my wife's family, before we were married, like right before I was going to propose that previous Christmas, so 2015, 2014. And I had to dress up as Santa, and all the kids actually were like, hey, oh my God, this is Santa, and I could not break character.
I was late for a Thanksgiving because I used to have a rule that I had to watch every game from the previous Sunday back before the next Sunday's game started. And because there's the early Lions early game on Thanksgiving, I was like 2 games behind, and I like vowed to myself to finish those before I left for Thanksgiving.
You're psychotic.
I know.
I love it.
Thank
That's
you,
a
Steve.
Good rule. It's a really good rule.
We'll talk next week. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
It's 4:30. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency today. It's also time for the Donnie Football Debrief, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Donald?
The Debrief, April 18, 2024. The Denver Broncos front office has a funny little wager going ahead of next week's draft. This is between head coach Sean Payton and the general manager, General George Patton, on who gets drafted first at a certain position in the draft. Obviously, we don't know the player or the position that they're talking about, but apparently they've gone to the professional wrestling well here, and they have a quote haircut wager on the line here. So that only makes me assume that the loser has to go bald in this situation. Malzy, obviously you are bald, but you pull off the bald look very well. What do we make of this? A little bit ridiculous, weird, or are we okay with this move from the Broncos front office?
It's a little bit weird. It's kind of like a, I don't know, I just think of like Donald Trump shaving Vince McMahon's head, and I think this is like carnival sideshow circus. I think it's much more amusing that, according to Sean Payton, the team spent 2 hours last night studying analytics to, quote, increase our batting percentage in the draft process. So you just kicked around analytics for 2 hours and you figure that's going to help? What are we talking about
I'm
here?
I'm thinking about who the player is that they have to bet on. My guess is McCarthy. Because there's so much hullabaloo over what's going to happen with him and where he goes in the draft.
I'm looking at
either him or Penix. Because Penix, Donnie just said that CBS Sports had him ninth to Atlanta.
I'm just trying to decide which of these guys would look funnier with a shaved head.
I don't understand how their GM still has a job after he orchestrated that Russell Wilson deal and it blew up the way that it did.
I think the other guy would actually look worse with a shaved head.
Patton?
Yeah.
I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup.
I mean, he looks kind of like, I don't know, just looks like a guy.
Looks like a white guy with a lot of money.
Correct. And I think making that guy shave his head would be pretty funny. Does he look like Drew Rosenhaus's cousin, kind of?
Let me see it again.
He kind of looks like a distant Rosenhaus cousin. Or like a guy playing a general manager in a movie, you know what I mean? Which those
in draft
guys,
day.
Yeah, those guys
Kevin
might
Costner's
have had a better...
on the phone with him and he's leveraging like his
exactly
stuff to get what he needed to take. Who was the quarterback he wanted really in that movie, Donnie, all along? Who was the guy?
Well, Bo Callahan was the hot prospect.
He was the quarterback who nobody came to his birthday party, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't he like Vontae Mack?
Vontae Mack was the Ohio State outside linebacker played by the late Chadwick Boseman.
R.I.P.
Yeah, this George Patton looks he looks like a guy playing a general manager, which if he did the Russell Wilson deal, which he did, he probably would be better off in acting.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, he's going to throw out the first pitch at the Pirates game tomorrow night.
Yep. Drafted how many times by baseball teams? Twice? Or just the one time?
Rangers and Rockies?
I think so. I think those are the two. Yeah, I think those are the two.
I will think less of him, and I will judge him if it's not a strike.
And from the mound.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, he should be able to, like, easily put one over with a little bit of velocity behind it if he wants.
It'll be just like when Donnie and I watched Kendrick Green play softball, and we both agreed this guy's got no future in the NFL. I knew it from that moment on that he had no shot.
With the way things have been going, percentage chance that if it's Henry Davis there, it's a passed ball. Also, Russell Wilson,
You think he keeps the sunglasses on like he apparently does at OTAs and Penguins games?
I hope so. I hope he throws it to Davis, who's also wearing sunglasses.
Usually people that wear sunglasses inside or at night do it because they're high.
Correct.
And Russell Wilson doesn't...
Or they're like trying to be cool.
Russell Wilson doesn't strike me as the type of guy that's doing a lot of edibles and smoking a lot of weed.
No, I don't think so.
Because he always tries to be so buttoned up.
Yeah, but if
he never relaxes.
If he and Sierra are at home just like chilling, which they have to do, they have to be normal people like that. Then
I don't
see
it with
him taking an edible.
I think he's always got it. I think it's always on.
The switch is always flipped on.
Yep.
That's got to be exhausting for her unless she's wired the same way.
Could be. I don't know as much about her.
Here's a thought. Now I'm only saying this because the Pirates are mired in a bad hitting slump, and certain players in the team are really struggling at the plate. Wilson, 35 years old. got drafted by two separate teams, obviously knows his way around a baseball diamond. He's rusty. Is there one guy on their roster right now where you would say Russell Wilson might have a better chance at getting a base knock than this person, the way things are going? You just get him back in there, he takes a little BP, the
Cruz.
Muscle memory comes back. Against a left-hander, yeah, the way that's going.
Well, is he looking at pitches right down the middle the entire time, too?
Remember when Crosby did batting practice and was just parking him out of PNC Park? Just lefty cuts right over the Clemente wall.
I'm waiting for a Starkey tweet about how the
Pirates are going to remove Wilson from the mound before he can throw the pitch, right? He already did that tweet. He said the Pirates considered lifting Jim Leland before he threw it out on opening day.
Oh, man.
Oh, he loves that kind of stuff, too. You like that one, Malzy?
How hard did he laugh after he sent that?
Oh, he laughed very hard, and then he would – I would occasionally, Donnie, when Joe and I worked together, I would know he had sent those tweets, and I would know the joke was going to be used on the air, and I would – even if I thought it was good, which they often, to be honest, were good, I would just completely no-sell it because his reaction to me just not laughing at all would make it even more worthwhile.
That would honestly be hard for me because I think Joe has one of the best laughs of anybody in this entire building.
Oh, like he's a hyena.
His laugh just makes me laugh no matter what he's laughing at.
I still think his greatest tweet was when the Rams-Steelers game in St. Louis got delayed because of the pyrotechnics during player introductions. And Joe said something like, field on fire in St. Louis, several Steelers players running over to try to smoke it.
I remember that one.
That's a great one.
It was right after Bell and Blunt got busted. And I thought that was just hysterical. I wish you could do your special search to see if you could find that one.
I'll do it right now.
I'm looking right now.
If I find it, it's getting retweeted.
That was just a knee slapper from back in the day. What did it say?
Maybe Rams thought if they lit grass on fire, somebody on Steelers try to smoke it.
I hope that did big numbers.
I'm retweeting it right now. Let's give it new life. Let's give that bad boy new life.
Oh, that was good.
Very quickly, since they're doing the bald bet in Denver, I obviously am exempt from this. I am. I shave my head. Two funniest fan personalities to have to shave their heads on a bet. Like, where you just...
Well, the problem is we've already seen Crowley
it.
Bald.
How about this? In the building, it doesn't have to be the fan.
Collins bald.
Can you imagine Marty Griffin and Larry Richard doing a head shave bet?
No, I really can't.
I mean, I was going to say Pomp just because his hair is, like, iconic.
Oh, that's a great
one. Can you imagine if Pomp...
He's got that coiffed hair.
Yeah, it looks very light and airy, but in a good way. What if Pomp and Richie had a hair versus hair bet? Oh, can you imagine Richie having to put the hair on the line?
I lost a bet to Richie where I was supposed to shave my eyebrows, and I think he forgot about it. And the statute of limitations have run out on
what's
it.
Wait, why are you the one declaring that there is a statute of limitations?
Because everybody knows you have 365 days to cash in a bet.
Says who? Charlie is behind you shaking his head no emphatically.
To what you're saying.
No, to what he just pointed to you.